Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Spring is here, and so are the critters. If critters are making themselves at home in your home, call Critter Control, serving the Pine Belt and Gulf Coast. They'll remove those pests and keep them out for good. Call Nathan at 601-467-9341. Critter Control. Get them out, keep them out.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, here we go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Glad you're with us today, and we'll be talking a lot, of course, about, I guess you could call it, Kelly, the Tuesday night SEC beatdown continued at Pete Taylor Park last night.
Well, I'm glad that the SEC is working hard to, you know, get up there with Southern Miss. They're competing with Southern Miss, so clearly Ole Miss and State are making strides.
They're not quite there.
Not quite.
But they are competing. Southern Miss, another dramatic night at Pete Taylor Park with really an incredible 2-1 win over a really good Ole Miss baseball team. And you and I were talking before the show. I'm like you. I'm a baseball purist. I love a 2-1 game like
yes.
that last night. That was classic baseball.
I don't like the 14-12 deals. Yeah. I like where strategy really plays an important part, you know, getting the bunt down if you need to or executing a hit and run, those sorts of things.
We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio. Bob Dima and Kelly, opening segment of the show, sponsored every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. And today is no different. Nor is it no different today. We join Travis Creel every Wednesday. And, Coach, first let me just say congratulations to you and the coaching staff. This run right now is about as remarkable as anything we've seen in Southern Miss baseball. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's been something. It's been awesome. I think our strength of schedule is either first or second in the country right now, and for us to be 15-2 after 17 games, it's wild. But, man, they've been exciting. They've been fun games. They've been entertaining. I know if I was a fan, I'd want to come back and watch this team play for sure. So,
no question.
Big weekend this weekend, though, and kind of got to move on and start conference play.
Put your finger on one or two things, if you can, Coach, that has helped propel this team to so much success.
Well, I think, first off, we're – have really good players. We were really good on the mound, really physical on offense. And two, just the maturity. We're really old. We've had a lot of guys who have been in the fire who have hosted regionals and played in super regionals and things like that. And that matters. Experience matters in college baseball. And, you know, another big thing for me is, you know, our retention of our players. All these guys have played together. You know, we have very few, you know, new guys every year, and where a lot of other teams are bringing in whole new teams year to year. So, you know, I think that continuity helps for sure, and it's been fun to watch.
Tell me if this third thing is important too, and I really pick up on this every time I'm around the team, and that is the love that these kids have for each other. Man, they would go to war for one another, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it's real. It's real relationships. It's real friendships. It's real relationships with coaches too. I mean, it's just a good group where, you know, I'd be saying this if we were 2-15. I just enjoy, I can speak for all the coaches, just enjoy coming to work every day and working with these guys. It's a good group. They're hungry. They want to work. They want to get better, and they love the game.
Travis, there's just one spot on the lineup that I think still been the question mark for you guys, and that's the DH position. And I guess, you know, you've been putting guys in there, seeing how it works was between Stelly, Ty Long, you even threw in Tonsmeyer, even a Jace Norton. I mean, where do you look for, what do you look for from a DH spot, and what do you want to see from one of these guys to step up and take that role?
Yeah, you know, I think just because they're the DH doesn't mean they have to have a specific characteristic as a hitter. We're just looking for good at-bats. You know, I do think Stelly the past two games, I thought he's had really good at-bats. I thought he's hit some balls hard. Kind of right at people. You know, he found a barrel in the third inning yesterday, right at a guy. You know, had a bunt single and another single on Sunday. So, Stelly's got huge potential, man. Like, you know, coming off back surgery in the fall, you know, I didn't think he was quite ready in January. But every day he seems to be progressing. The bat speed seems to be coming back. And I'm excited. I really am. I'm not just saying that. I'm excited to see what he's doing these next couple weeks because I think it's in there, and I think he's starting to finally get healthy and confident, and I'm excited to see it.
What do you think for him specifically was the reason for his struggles in the beginning of the season? And like you said, sometimes you just hit the ball hard at people, but for him it seemed like he was late on a couple of pitches and things like that.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we obviously hammered it into his head. Just, it was a lack of aggression.
Right.
I mean, every at-bat he was down 0-2 without swinging with, you know, pitches that he can handle. And, you know, he's obviously getting a lot of new things thrown at him here. And then missing the fall was kind of crucial. That stinks. But, yeah, you know, just hammering, hey, man, you're a really good hitter. You have juice. You don't do us any good. That bat doesn't come off your shoulder. So be aggressive, have a good approach. And, again, you know, I think the last two games, Sunday and yesterday, I really liked his swings.
There are certain kind of pressures involved in the game, Coach Creel. You talked about, well, I'd say the same thing about the guys if they were 2-15 as opposed to 15-2. There's a different kind of, for lack of a better term, pressure when things aren't going well. But I'd like you to address the kind of pressure that you feel at whatever level when you guys are clicking on all cylinders, because the expectation level goes way up. And you got it, anything in life, you have to temper a little bit, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah, you know, it's the old Nick Saban rat poison comment, right? I mean, everybody's telling you how good you are, and then that can weigh on you. But, you know, it's cliche, but you know, Oz preaches every day, it's just next games are most important. Let's just take it one day at a time. And these guys seem to have bought into that. You know, another thing when you're having a lot of success, it's easy to get complacent because you kind of think you're invincible at times. I think that showed last Wednesday. And then maybe that was a good learning moment for our guys to realize they're not invincible. They need to come out ready to play every day. And they certainly have most every game this year.
Two of the things that I think that I keep harping on when the Eagles come up in discussion, and it's almost daily with whoever, right, the way you guys are playing. Number one is the fact that you, by and large, have stayed healthy as a team. Still not that deep into the season, but you are pretty healthy. And the unprecedented depth, I think, that this team has had. I don't think you can understate either of those.
No, 100%. You know, on the mound, our depth is tremendous. And, you know, I think I told you that, guys, that before the season. You know, I don't know if we have a JB who's, you know, going to be a first or second rounder, but from a, you know, arm 6 to 14 compared to the last 2-3 years staff, it's not close. So we can roll out a lot of guys. We can roll out a lot of guys with different looks and things like that, and we can make it tough, you know, late in a game when it turned into a bullpen match. You know, we're pretty tough to beat.
Travis, I know I've asked you this a lot, but and granted, you know, you guys have faced probably the best arms in the country for these first 17 games, and you're still 15-2. I mean, it has to be encouraging knowing that this lineup, this offense, really hasn't produced to what they're capable of producing, and you guys are still 15-2.
Yeah, I mean, sure. It's kind of hard to decipher knowing the competition we've played.
Right.
Obviously, you know, Russo, which he's having, you know, a fine first 17 games. We know there's much more that he can do, and he knows that as well. And, you know, I think Tucker's had really good at-bats his last three games. Obviously, with the walk-off last night was huge. And, you know, if you really just get those two going, Higdon's, you know, if you look just at his batting average, it's obviously way better than it was a week ago. But all season long, that dude's been having good at-bats. So I got no issues with him whatsoever. Really just get those two old guys going, and we know they're going to. You feel like the line is pretty deep, and 1-9 can do different things, and pretty much all of them can leave the yard. It's a scary bunch when we get rolling.
One quick thing on Joey Urban being the leadoff guy, and I really like it because he's really able to extend those at-bats for that pitcher in the first inning. I think he got 9 pitches from Ole Miss' starter last night. Granted, he got the out, but, I mean, that's exactly what you want the leadoff guy to do in a game.
Oh, 100%. Joey always gives you a good at-bat, and, I mean, let's be honest, that guy looked like Paul Skeens. He's going to pitch for a long time. And for Joey to go 9 pitches with that guy, and, you know, even though we didn't score off that guy, maybe we get him out in the third instead of the fourth, you
sure.
know, because of pitch count, because of Joey. So, absolutely, that good at-bats and the leadoff is vital, and Joey certainly will give those to you.
We're talking to baseball coach Travis Creel, as we do every Wednesday. Going to talk to him about some more aspects of last night's game and what's upcoming after the break. As we go to break, I have two complaints, guys, and I'm going to voice these with you, Coach. One, I'm having trouble sleeping on Tuesday nights because of these guys. Like they never got to bed last night. And two, I'm concerned that if you don't let up, these SEC teams are just going to quit coming down here, Coach. So that's just something you and Oz might want to talk about a little later.
I'll talk to him about it.
Of course, they did change your meds, though, too, Bob. That might have something to do with
it. No,
that.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Because Travis just said he's not sleeping well on Tuesday nights either. So
No, I'm not.
I can relate completely.
That goes to the question I was just asking earlier. You know, there's a pressure of losing, but there's also some pressure that goes with winning.
Yeah. It's like the old song from the 60s, Kelly, from
Dima just checked out.
I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile. That's how I felt this morning when I got up. More with Travis Creel next. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, second segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Every day is sponsored by Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West. That's where you'll find Matt Warren and his staff. They sell premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. Talking to baseball coach Travis Creel. On the heels of last night's really exciting 2-1 win over Ole Miss. Travis, I got some correspondence last night from some upper echelon management at Super Talk, and they're Ole Miss guys and ladies, but man, they were so complimentary about Southern Miss baseball, and I felt the same way about Ole Miss after watching the game. I think that was a really quality ball club that was here last night.
No, 100%. That's a really good team, really, really deep, good pitching staff. Those coaches do a great job. Obviously, when we're out on the road recruiting all summer, you know, we're with them a lot. They're good people. They're good dudes. They work really hard, and they do it the right way. And it's always fun competing against them.
Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have an interview we did earlier this week with Kyle Morrison. He's a young man that transferred here from South Alabama, hit the big home run last night to tie the game 1-1. And talking to you coaches, you guys love this kid, don't you? And he's really stepped in here and made a big contribution.
Yeah, it's been a perfect fit. You know, I think probably around March we realized Monastir wasn't going to be back. And we had some young guys that really wanted to attack a second baseman in the portal. And once he got in, he was like, couldn't be a better fit. And he's come here and worked his tail off to make himself a really good second baseman. That was definitely a question if he could do it defensively. And he's a worker. He's simple. Like I told y'all, he loves to hunt. And he loves to hit. And he's a good fit with our team for sure.
And you said something that surprised me a little bit. You said in a team full of players that look like D1 linebackers, that this kid's the strongest kid on the team?
Strongest bench press. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's a lot of weight. I know that.
Kelly, you're an expert at bench pressing, aren't you?
No, I can't be in the gym. I'm part of the government's fitness protection program. You know that, Bob.
Yeah. You're doing very well, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. I can't. So, Coach Creel, you guys are headed now to Jonesboro this weekend to face what a lot of people call Nichols 2.0. Because a lot of the former Nichols players, you know, went with their coach to Arkansas State. This is an improved Red Wolf bunch, and these are the games now that really start counting when it comes for a conference championship. What do we know about the Red Wolves as you begin to peel back this onion a little bit?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, Mike Silva, the head coach, you know, I worked with Mike for a year, and Ladd Rhodes worked with him for a couple at Nichols, and he's a great baseball coach. Turned that program around really, really quick. They're sixth in the country in ERA right now, so they're pitching the ball well. Done a great job with the facility, done a great job getting the fan base more involved and excited. And you know, I think he expects a really good atmosphere this weekend. And it's going to be a tough opponent. You know, I could see them really making a run in the Sun Belt as well. So, you know, even though it's the first weekend, it's a big weekend. So, looking forward to it.
And I know you want to win every single game in the conference, especially, but would you rather start with one, and I know you have to play them all, but would you rather start with one of the big dogs or one of the teams that maybe aren't expected to be as good, considering the gauntlet you guys have run through so far?
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent with it. Like you said, we got to play them all anyway. So, we're playing really good right now. I think if we were not playing as good, maybe you want a lesser opponent. We're playing pretty good right now. We're confident and really like where our guys' heads are at. And I know they're excited to get conference play going. So, I think it's a good thing we're playing them now. And like I said, I think it'll be a little better environment than it used to be from what I gather. So I'm excited to see it.
When you think about Arkansas State's pitching staff, like you just said, Travis, I think they're going to be rolling out two or three lefties on the weekend. I know two for sure. I think the Sunday starter is a righty, if I'm off the top of my head. But,
Three lefties.
Oh, three lefties, okay. Three lefties for them. That's tough.
Yeah, and they're all kind of different. That's what makes it – like, if they were all kind of similar, it'd be pretty easy to game plan. The Friday guy's more of a sinker guy. Saturday guy's more of a ride guy. And the Sunday guy is just kind of a good mix, kind of old school, doesn't throw hard lefty, just mixes pitches really well. So – that's what Mike does a good job of, man. He's always done that. He's a pitching coach for a long time, and they get a bunch of different looks. Tries not to let the guys have a similar at bat twice in the game, you know. So, they're good, and you know, we're good too. So it'll be a challenge, but again, we're looking forward to it.
I'd say we're really good. 15-2, good.
Yeah, no pressure at all. Yeah.
Hey, one last question from me, Coach. You brought in the left-handed freshman last night, who's up there in the mid 90s, and I think if he didn't strike out the side, he came pretty close. They certainly didn't hit him. How unusual is that to see a left-handed kid that can throw with such velocity? And I ask you this off the air. I thought you had a logical answer to that, but why is that so rare?
Yeah, like I told you, first off, there's a lot more righties than there is lefties in the world, right? That's just how God makes us. I really don't know the answer to that other than, more and more we're seeing lefties throw harder and harder, and we got a freshman lefty we haven't thrown yet that can dump 94 as well. So it's just coming more, the velo is just coming up for everybody. Bruce has been awesome. What a story he is from – coming from where he was in August to now, I never thought he'd be doing what he was doing, not from a talent standpoint, but he's come a long way mentally, and he's worked his tail off, and golly, he's impressive.
Yeah, Bruce Littleton is the young man. I should have identified his name and put on quite a show there last night, as did your ball club, Coach Creel, and we're certainly enjoying this ride. It'd be hard to describe how much, and we thank you for joining us every Wednesday. We'll be watching every pitch this weekend when the high-flying Eagles take on Arkansas State, Coach.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Travis Creel, everybody. Does a great job at Southern Miss.
And I don't want to get State and Ole Miss fans mad at me, or I don't want them getting fighting with each other. But the point that we were talking about in our production meeting prior to the show is if Mississippi State is ranked that high, That Ole Miss team that I saw last night is no worse than that Mississippi State team is. So, and again, no argument with Mississippi State being there, but I'm saying if they're there, why is Ole Miss so far down the ladder?
Not in the top 25.
Yeah,
they're in the top 25 in some rankings. I just think the offense for Mississippi State is significantly better than Ole Miss's. There were some
gaps.
But
you like Ole Miss pitching better.
I like their bullpen better. Yeah. I like Mississippi State's weakened arms better. Mm-hmm. But there's some significant gaps with that Ole Miss lineup. I mean, you could see it last night. You would get past those three or four guys on the top of the lineup and kind of just roll through the bottom of half of that lineup.
Yeah.
I don't see that big of a disparity, though. Well, I don't know.
You know, it's hard to judge other teams offensively against USM. I remember during the scrimmage games before the season started, Dima, I had several players tell me that, you know, hitting against the pitching staff in scrimmages was harder than most games that they play. And so I kind of took that with a grain of salt. But you can see what they're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, I want to go back to what Travis said, because I thought it was really interesting what he said about Caleb Stelly. You know, this is the DH spot is something that Southern Miss just has to figure out. I mean, they're not getting any production from really anybody down there. And, you know, I thought it was interesting that he mentioned that Caleb Stelly, you know, he's obviously missed the fall to see the pitching that Southern Miss had in the fall, of course, because of the surgery. He's really been trying to figure out himself. And, you know, he was a big name that Southern Miss got from Louisiana. They expected him to come in here and hopefully, I mean, all things great, would have been like a 5-10 home run guy. You know,
like Morrison's doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think Morrison's kind of overperforming. Yeah. But, yes, you're right. I mean, if they could get Stelly to the level of Morrison, that would be best case scenario. But he's really not been doing much for them at all. So that's why they've had to transfer, you know, swap people out of that DH spot. But last night, I thought Stelly was good last night, and I want to continue to see him swing the bat. You know, I understand last night was a low-scoring game, and they bunted him a few times, and I get it. You have to move the runner in a low-scoring game like that. But I just hope they give him the opportunity to swing the bat mm-hmm. in certain moments, because sometimes all you need to do is see a ball to drop for your average right, to start
right.
going up.
That's one thing now, even in the win, that I didn't think the Golden Eagles did a very good job of last night was bunting.
Right. Well, they've never been a good bunting team. Yeah. No offense to Travis Creel. I think everybody would agree with me with that.
At least they are calling the bunts in strategically correct.
They're calling the bunts a lot, actually.
Right.
And they've laid down some, but
and something that raised my eyebrows in our discussion with Coach Creel is he noted that Arkansas State, sixth best team in the country in ERA right now. And as Dima has noted, the batting lineup for Southern Miss, although potentially explosive, hasn't really been clicking on all cylinders sure. yet. So if you go into Jonesboro this weekend and they pitch like they're capable of pitching, what I'm saying is this is the steamroller's not in first gear this weekend.
It's Arkansas State's strength against Southern Miss's apparent, I mean, I don't want to say weakness, but maybe potential flaw, because you can't say they have a weakness at 15-2, number 7 in the country.
Right.
But it's the potential thing that can lose them a game. Yeah, and we've seen that. That's the reason they lost to Nichols.
And they, you know, they've depended on home runs in a lot of games to bail them out. So we'll see.
This will be a fun series up there in Jonesboro.
I'll tell you what, it's hard to bet against them.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really, really good. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Appreciate Travis Creel joining us as he does every Wednesday and talk about that really exciting 2-1 win last night. Last thing I'm going to say about the game, guys, I think another thing that game illustrated last night is the greatness of college baseball in the state of Mississippi. Kelly, does any state per capita match the quality of college baseball this state produces?
And actually, you prefaced it by saying college. I would dare say junior college and the high school teams are pretty doggone good, too. It's the love of that sport in this state. And it's not like it's anything new, But it certainly seems to be at its pinnacle right now.
Yeah, so kudos to Ole Miss and the fine team they have. We think they'll win a lot of games this year. And I agree with you. I don't see that much difference in State and Ole Miss, but I don't get to vote in the polls, so whatever.
Yeah, I don't see a 21 ranking difference in the two.
We're going to veer off the subject that we're normally on just a little bit today, as I remind everybody about our good friends at Forest Health and how you need to keep up with your favorite team. It's great. We did it last night. But don't forget about the most important player, excuse me, and that, of course, is you. Be sure you get an annual physical. Make sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. And the third segment of our show every day, of course, sponsored by our good buddies at DBAT. We got to get Luke Reynolds out here on the show. He's an All-American college baseball player that runs DBAT, and it is a state-of-the-art facility for baseball, softball, and adult sports training. All right, you guys just told me something. I can get back to veering off a little bit. That the USA baseball team with all these Major League All-Stars got beat by Italy in baseball?
Yeah, the World Baseball Classic, Italy last night, 8-6 victors over the USA team. So there's a big game tonight. If y'all watch the World Baseball Classic, which I hope you do because it's awesome, big game tonight between Italy and Mexico at 7 p.m. Eastern. The winner – so it's in Pool B. So if Italy defeats Mexico, then the USA team will advance to the quarterfinals, get out of the pool play round. If Mexico wins, it comes down to a mathematical tiebreaker between the U.S. and Italy. So it's not a head-to-head thing. It comes down to the teams who, you know, allowed the most runs in a game. So Italy would need to lose by four or fewer runs, or it would have to give up four or fewer runs to advance if they lost. And then if they won by five or more, if they lost by five or more runs, then the USA would advance.
And I think the Italians at one time had an 8-0 lead, didn't they?
They took an 8-0 lead, and USA started coming
back. How is that possible?
Well,
I mean, Italy has a good player. What's their good player on their team? I researched that, but
maybe Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe it's because we're playing with baseballs and they're playing with meatballs. I don't know.
Careful. Whoa,
careful! Careful!
That's your people,
that's
right, Bob?
That's right. Be careful there now. I hate to file an EEOC complaint against you.
I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. Yeah, go ahead, Dima.
I was just going to say, did y'all see last night that Bam Adebayo broke Kobe Bryant's scoring record last night? He had 83 points against the Wizards.
That sounds like a running back, doesn't it? With a name like
83
that.
83 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously Wilt Chamberlain is the highest with 101.
Did anyone else on the team score?
I don't know.
And really, you know, coming back from a spring training last week in Phoenix, if you are a Major League Baseball fan, which the World Baseball Classic is kind of a preface to the Major League season, you better enjoy this season because from everything that I picked up last week in Phoenix with executives, Major League Baseball, especially the different team leaders, they're all saying that there is going to be a lockout next year and there might not be a Major League Baseball season at all in 2027. And the players, one of the things that they wanted to get out and make clear to everybody that this would be a owner's lockout, that their players are not going on strike, and sometimes people perceive it as that, but they're of course putting this all on the feet of the owners, because the owners are pushing for a salary cap like there is in the NBA and the National Football League. But the players have said that is non-negotiable. They will not go for a salary cap in any way, shape, or form. The idea being that in these negotiations with the owners, the players are trying to fight for the younger guys on the totem pole coming up, because the point they make is that Ohtani and all those guys, they're going to get their money, right? So if you have a salary cap and Ohtani's going to get his money, that's just going to leave crumbs for everybody else. But the owners claim that a salary cap creates parity, and the players then come back with, no, it doesn't, because the NFL has a salary cap, and it's been pretty much the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots the past 15 or 20 years. So the Dodgers claim that everything they're doing in quote-unquote buying players, any other team in the league could do if their owner would get off their wallet and pretend
like
they want to
win. Well, I
will
tell you this. In a recent conversation I had with Brian Dozier, who played for the Dodgers played for the Nationals and the Twins. He said that when you play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, it's like being basically in another world. He said no organization remotely treats their players and their families like the LA Dodgers.
And Jack Dreyer, who I had got to have dinner with last week, and Jack was one of the kids that I got to coach when he was a kid, and he's a reliever with the Dodgers, pitched in two games in the World Series last year. He echoed that, Bob. He said the Dodgers just do it right.
Yeah.
And they've got him locked up now through 2032. So they have got, they've gone so far, the player reps for Major League Baseball players have gone so far as to say, fellas, talk to your wives, talk to your financial planners, whatever you need to do, you better put some money away because this is going to take a long time.
Oh,
and they even talked about no baseball at all in 2027.
Oh, that's a shame.
One of the things the owners also want to do is cut the amateur draft even further from 20 rounds to 10 rounds. Remember, it not long ago, it was 40 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It was cut to 20. Well, now the owners want to cut it to 10, and the players said they might be open to that if the owners then would give them two more expansion teams, which would allow more players than an opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the players, if they had their way, the new franchises would be in Nashville and in Salt Lake City. But they even went so far, the players even went so far as to say they want to abandon the franchise in Denver. All the players hate, all the ones that I talk to, hate the Colorado Rockies organization. Pitchers can't perform well there because of the altitude, and it's tough to have a good ERA there, that it's just not a good situation. So this thing's going to get really ugly. December 1st is when that lockout is scheduled to begin.
On another note, I want to, a little self-plug here, my second podcast, Legends, will be released tomorrow, thanks to my technical guru here, Mr. Mixon. This will be a conversation with Tim Floyd. Tim Floyd, if you don't know, born and raised in Hattiesburg, grew up playing basketball with Steve Knight, coach at William Carey. Fascinating story. Went on to coach your alma mater, USC, some of the biggest college basketball programs in the country, and the Chicago Bulls and the New Orleans Hornets. A fascinating story about a local guy who made it hugely big in coaching. But you told me a side story about him, and I'd like for you to let people know about that.
Well, my wife passed away in November of 1999 in a single car wreck and car accident. And, you know, I was there with the three kids. At the time, there were 3, 5, and 11. And one of the first people he was coaching the Bulls at the time. And one of the first phone calls I got was from Tim Floyd in Chicago. And, you know, extending his condolences, and said, look, when the smoke clears and settle down, we want to have you up here to Chicago, you and the kids. And I said, you and Beverly, you know, his wife? And he said, no, me and the Bulls. We want you to come hang out with us up here at the Berto Center, and you guys will get to be honorary Bulls for a week. And so when that time came, they had airline tickets waiting for us in Jackson, flew us to Jackson, drove to the Berto Center in Chicago, got to see the 5 world championship trophies, got to see their excellent indoor facility, obviously, basketball, and have video of my son playing one-on-one with Will Perdue and Hersey Hawkins, who were on the Bulls at that time. And Fred Hoiberg, as you guys know, the head basketball coach at Nebraska, who I coached in Little League in Ames, Iowa, Fred was playing for the Bulls at that time, so I got to reunite with him as well. But obviously, Tim Floyd didn't have to do that.
No, no.
He had lots of other things to worry about.
Right.
But flew me and my kids up there to spend some time with the Bulls. And they didn't have a very good season. And they won both games. We were there. Yeah. And he said, can you guys stay longer?
Well, Kelly helped set this interview up for me. And I found him to be the same way. Extraordinarily kind. Really, really a nice guy. So if you're interested in that sort of story, I think it's a fascinating story. And he goes into great detail about going to the NBA and how that was a tough decision for him, and walking away from Iowa State, which was a primo college coaching job. Tim Floyd, the podcast released tomorrow on Spotify. And where else, Dima? You're in charge of all that.
It should be on Apple Podcasts as well as Amazon Podcasting as well.
Okay. I remember when he took that Bulls job, and I knew that the Bulls were in a down cycle, right?
Yeah.
And I said, Coach, you could be the governor of Iowa. The popularity you have at Iowa State. I said, why would you go to the Chicago Bulls? He said, I'll give you 8 million reasons.
Yeah, he talks a lot about that and how the money was quite different in college, basketball, and the NBA.
For sure.
Legends, it'll be available tomorrow afternoon, and I want to thank Dima for it. There wouldn't be a Legends if it wasn't for Dima.
Dima is a legend.
All I know how to do is talk, and then I turn it over to Dima. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
MCS Home Center reminds you everything you need for your home, your lawn, or your garden. They've got it. They're on Highway 98 West out in Bellevue. MCS Home Center is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center with local folks eager to serve you. 7329 Highway 98 West. Also want to say a special thanks to our good friends at Jewel Masters, Marty and Cindy Vick. Jewel Masters is where you go to sell all your gold and silver and old coins and jewelry. They've been doing it for a long time. They'll give you the very best price. There's no question about that. And it'll be confidential. It'll be quick. And you'll walk out of Jewel Masters with cold, hard cash in your hands. And Kelly, I saw Marty Vick last night, and it kind of reminded me of what we were talking about, the you see Marty and you see Cindy and you think, God, he must have just caught her when she wasn't thinking straight.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it's part of a work release program that Cindy had to do community service.
I don't think Cindy's ever been arrested.
Yeah, that's you're right about that, I guess. But I'm interested by that term, though. It's be confidential. Why? Is it because you're walking in there with gold and it's worth a lot of money now?
Well, some people want to keep that. You know, some people, if they feel the necessity to go sell their personal stuff, they don't want everybody to know about
it. Or if
that,
you stole it from somebody.
Come on, Kelly. Yeah, these are good friends and clients. Now, be nice.
No,
You've accused Cindy of having a criminal record.
No, I'm saying they wouldn't have stolen it, but maybe somebody coming into the store. But I'm sure they have.
Well, I appreciate the short sponsorship that Jewel Masters provided to the Eagle Hour, thanks to Kelly. All right, Dean, before he does any more damage, news and notes.
Yeah, I mean, softball tonight, back in action against Southeastern Louisiana. I think that was moved up, that game. I think a 4:30 first pitch tonight out there in Hammond because of some inclement weather coming into the area this evening. I'm sure that drive back they were kind of worried about and stuff like that. So, and we really should mention that both William Carey men and women's basketball are in the NAIA national tournament, both as 5 seeds, and they're going to go off in the women in Springfield, Missouri, and then the men in Kentucky on Friday afternoon. So really excited to see what happens. And obviously both of those teams have had just tremendous seasons. The women, of course, won their conference tournament for the first time in program history. The men came up 3 points short of doing that, but they did win the regular season championship. So both programs looking to maybe potentially have a deep run. Of course, 2019, when Steve Knight took that team to the Fabulous Four, you know, that I think that's the furthest Carey has gotten under Steve Knight. So we
should ask Teresa English, the athletic director there, at one point, if Carey would ever consider going like Division II NCAA. I mean, I know that Baptist affiliation.
As they are.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
NAIA, yeah.
Because obviously they're tied to
an interesting question.
The Baptist Convention, I understand the value of the NAIA there, but man, they've got, I mean, the campus is expanding. Their offerings are expanding. It's amazing what's going on at Carey.
Yeah, I just saw some a law program, you know, partnership with Mississippi College at William Carey.
Really?
Where you can, you know, start your law degree your junior and senior year of college, and then you know finish it at Mississippi College in the final year.
I think we can all agree William Carey University has been a remarkable, remarkable story.
Well, and when you look at all these programs they've added, you know, physical therapy, pharmacy,
medicine,
medicine, and
that's
now
a little one,
and now lawyers.
Yeah.
Suffice it to say, if you're working in the Alumni Association, you're probably going to do pretty well in the future. And the law programs could work with the medical programs to get malpractice and stuff worked out ahead of time.
And now William Carey will have nothing to do with us moving forward.
Yeah, I was just about to say, after the tournament, we'll try to get Steve Knight on. But
yeah, you've pretty much destroyed three relationships here in the last 30 minutes.
Just turn my mic off.
I need to.
It'll be an answer to prayer for a lot of people.
Morrison, we were talking about him earlier. He'll be on the Eagle Hour tomorrow, and Cross Sibley Friday. Cross is another kid, remarkably, that has become a great Division I baseball pitcher, despite the fact when he was a kid, Dima, he was coached by Kelly. So I guess they were able to wash all that out of his head.
Did I ever tell you that story? He had announced on his social platform or whatever that he was engaged at the time to one of the softball players.
They're married now.
Okay, they're married now. But I happened to be at Buffalo Wild Wings when I saw that, and he and some of his teammates were eating out on the patio at that local eatery, and I went out and congratulated him, and he looked at me and goes, "You drove all the way out here just to say that? You came all the way to Buffalo Wild Wings just to congratulate me?" I said, no, I was already here across, you know.
Wonderful young man.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing rattles him either.
He doesn't know any better, you know.
No, he said that I asked him about getting them both on the show at the same time because his wife is the center fielder for the softball team. We're going to arrange that, but we're going to let them finish playing first. They're probably pretty busy right now, I would think.
Yeah, and he's not just a good baseball player. He's just an athlete. I mean, a gymnast.
Mm-hmm. You know, that also has to be kind of tough, you know, because they're both on the road, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah. He said they never get to see each other play.
Yeah,
so they
exactly.
try to They're watch. They'll, the they time. Watch maybe some ESPN Plus stuff. Yeah,
that well, that's up. Got the makings of a successful marriage. They never see each other.
He's just really charming today.
That's four relationships.
That's four. Now Cross Sibley's going to call me and say, "Don't bother. Don't play my interview Friday."
Yeah, key to your success: never see each other.
Can you come back tomorrow, Kelly?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be invited back tomorrow, but I can come back.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. Slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.